and state media concepts social media podcast. Time to hashtag everything. We talk about all the fun, crazy stories on social media. From Instagram to Facebook, Twitter to Tumblr, or probably even Friendster. Join us each week as we explore the quirky side of social media. It's the Golden State Media Concepts Social Media Podcast.
It's simple, such a sad song. The one that we rely on.
Welcome to the GSMC Social Media News Podcast, brought to you by the GSMC Podcast Network. I am your host, Heidi, and today I just want to say there are some events in our history, in our world, in our country, that just keep on giving to social media. And if I'm speaking specifically of the United States, this event for me has been the Super Bowl. Because never in my wildest dreams did I imagine that an event where people run into each other and then throw like a football and like run up and down a field continuously at very small increments and then stop and then run and then stop and then tackle each other. Never did I think an event like that would be so interesting on social media. Because if you're into the sport, it could be interesting while watching it. If you're into the commercials, that of course will be interesting, and there's a halftime show. So as a spectator, yes, I thought perhaps I would enjoy it, which I kind of did. But I have been so intrigued by the social media windstorm that has come, and I promise you this is my last social media story about the Super Bowl, but this one, this one really hits home for me, because it is about a character, really just someone who has been so influential in my life, and that is SpongeBob. I was probably raised by SpongeBob. I spent so much of my childhood watching TV. I continually quote SpongeBob, and I really connect to people who also quote SpongeBob. It has a special place in my heart, especially on the internet. I feel like the internet really loves SpongeBob, and that has created so many memes and so much conversation. And so I was just thrilled to see that the Super Bowl was bringing in SpongeBob and that would all just coalesce into this excellent amount of social media news that I just get to comb over and read. And there have been some memes. There have been some Twitter reactions. There are my own feelings of disappointment generally. So I'm excited to talk about this, needless to say. This story particularly, there's the Super Bowl. I'm particularly talking about the halftime show in this story. So let me just provide some background. So the world in general, the internet specifically, the world that relates to memes and things of that nature, was very excited when hearing that the NFL might include a tribute to SpongeBob SquarePants, the classic Nickelodeon show. And this is all in response to a petition. The internet was very excited by this. Fans wanted a rendition that is basically, there's a SpongeBob episode where they go to the Bikini Bottom Bubble Bowl and Squidward leads a band to perform during the halftime show. There was going to be a rendition of this performance, supposedly, oh gosh, that's a rough word, apparently, during the Super Bowl halftime show. The most recent one, which has passed. Of course, we had Adam Levine and the much controversy that surrounded his whole performance and, you know, all of that. But fans were excited because there was the possibility of having a rendition of the SpongeBob song at this event. And I was excited. I had heard about the petition. I didn't think it was real. But apparently, after the death of the series creator, Steven Hillenburg, which he passed away on November 26, 2018, a petition on change.org was created, which requested that the NFL pay tribute to him by playing Sweet Victory during the halftime show of the Super Bowl. The Sweet Victory song is what the characters in SpongeBob perform on the particular episode in which they kind of go to the Super Bowl, except in their version, it's the Bubble Bowl, but whatever. This petition received over 1.1 million signatures, which is crazy. And on December 12th, 2018, the host stadium for the Super Bowl posted a scene from the episode on their official Twitter account from the SpongeBob episode. And that hinted that there was a potential this could be performed at the Super Bowl. You know, maybe the petition had been a success. So then there was the headlining act, Maroon 5, and they also released a teaser video featuring a second SpongeBob clip, which of course furthered the speculation. Everyone was excited. I thought, we've done it. We finally made it. SpongeBob is making it to the Super Bowl, not just the Bubble Bowl, but nationwide, a bigger audience. I was excited. It's a big deal for the Sponge. You know, big audience. Not that he doesn't already have a big audience, but you know, a different type of crowd. Anyway, fans were really ready to see SpongeBob just go through his rendition of Sweet Victory. But that's not exactly what happened. Instead, fans kind of got a lot of Adam Levine and fire, sort of, like in a meteor, and 10 seconds of Bikini Bottom. During the halftime show, which was on February 3rd at the Super Bowl, there's a short clip of Squidward and a snippet of the Bubble Bowl performance scene, which was then used to announce guest singer Travis Scott, who Squidward described as a true musical genius who needs no introduction. If you watched this, it's like Squidward says that about Travis Scott, but we don't see him yet. And then you see a meteor come, like animated, and it plays on the screen where it looks like it's crashing into the halftime show. And then at the actual halftime show, like, there are pyrotechnics on stage and flames, and then Travis Scott. Now, that's not exactly what any fan thought was going to happen when it was teased that SpongeBob would be at the halftime show. That's not at all what I wanted. I thought there'd be more of Sweet Victory. It was really, really short. Fans were not happy about this. And I would say, as occurs when events, you know, take place and often disappoint us, memes have resulted. I have enjoyed them. One of them that I saw was quite enjoyable. This is just for the SpongeBob fans out there. It's just a picture of SpongeBob, and it's the classic line, "You used me for land development." And you can tell he's just very upset about this. And then someone posted that meme, and then their comment was, "Current mood after they had SpongeBob in the halftime show, but didn't even play Sweet Victory." Yes, I agree. I am very disappointed. I thought for sure it would be better. I saw another meme, and it is a picture from an episode, and it's a gravestone with flowers in front of it. And on the gravestone, it is inscribed, "Here lies Squidward's hopes and dreams." Oh, so true. And then the comment on this particular meme, someone posted, it said, "Y'all really did SpongeBob dirty," with the little emoji of the skull. Oh, poor SpongeBob. I thought there was a chance. There was actually, after the whole Super Bowl thing and people were disappointed, there was a video that came out for a hockey team where they actually edited in, like, I guess they did in post some sort of edit where it was the performance of Sweet Victory by SpongeBob and Squidward and the whole gang. They took that and they edited it so that they were wearing uniforms of the team's colors, this particular hockey team, and then they performed it and they made it look like it was part of a halftime show for a hockey game. That was pretty funny. I also saw a video of Travis Scott performing where he's like holding the mic and like kind of going crazy and getting like yelling and stuff. And then they put in, I believe it was SpongeBob. They edited him in next to Travis Scott on stage to also just like be upset and perform. And I don't know, there have been some good resulting memes, I would say, because that's really just what SpongeBob has become. As all of the kids that watched him growing up on Nickelodeon have grown up, we've just turned him into meme material for the internet, as what happens with many young children's TV shows. But I don't know, I'm a little disappointed. Although I will say, SpongeBob himself seems to have been appreciative of being included in the Super Bowl. This was proven by a tweet, which the official SpongeBob SquarePants tweeted. It said, "Jumping jellyfish, SpongeBob in the halftime show. We're honored, Goofy Goobers. Thanks to all the fans." I don't know. SpongeBob, you're a good sport, and that's very nice of you to seem so happy and excited and have so much gratitude towards the whole situation. But, I mean, you got gypped, man. You should have had a longer performance. Now, I mean, granted, people like my dad who are, like, real football fans are watching and would not at all have understood why SpongeBob's on there. But, I mean, was my dad excited about the halftime show anyway? No. Probably the only one he's excited about is, like, I believe when The Who came to perform, or just other old bands come. So, I mean, maybe it was just for a specific niche audience, the SpongeBob thing, but do other people watching the football, like real, watching the football, other people watching the Super Bowl, like the real hardcore football fans, are they really watching it to see Adam Levine perform? No, no, not really. Do they really care or know who's performing at the Super Bowl? I'm going to go out on a limb and say probably not. So, I don't know, SpongeBob. You deserved better. You should have had more airtime. Anyway, that brings us to a commercial break. So, please hang on. We'll be right back and keep talking about some more social media news.
Always on the go, but the day just won't be one without your Hollywood fix. Let Golden State Media Concepts Entertainment Podcast take care of that. An all-inclusive look of pop culture.
Welcome back to the Social Media News Podcast. We are continuing to share some social media news stories. This next one, oh boy, I saw this and I thought maybe it was better suited for the Weird News Podcast, but it involved a lot of Twitter responses, so it went here. So to all of you listeners, you're welcome. This is a very strange and weird news social media topic. It's bizarre to me. This is about Universal Studios, and they have a new character that is at their theme park. And you know when you go to theme parks like Disneyland or Universal or, I don't know, other ones that I can't think of right now, you get people in costume, like, you know, like Goofy and Minnie walking around and all the different characters who greet you and take pictures with kids and sign autographs. I mean, they're everywhere, even like Chuck E. Cheese, where you get like the creepy mouse who talks to you when you're trying to eat your pizza in peace. You know, that type of situation. Well, Universal Studios has them too. And they have the trolls, because Universal Studios makes the trolls movies. And they have some trolls walking around greeting kids. They have a little, like, sort of dance musical number that'll happen at certain times throughout the day. Not on a particular stage, just like around the park, wherever they are. And they have introduced a new troll to their lineup. This troll is Guy Diamond, who is a troll from, of course, the Trolls animated movie. And I have not seen the Trolls movie, but in the movie, Guy Diamond does not wear any clothes. I'm just going to put that out there. He's a naked troll, and I don't, I just don't like thinking about that. I'm not going to take my kids to see that. But this troll, particularly in the way they made the costume, has a very well-defined bare bottom. And not only that, but Guy Diamond also kind of farts at guests. But when he farts, he sort of fires off glitter, which is a whole nother level of just disturbing. Like, I really can't think of a better word for it. I don't understand what children's movies are coming to if this is the entertainment. I mean, come on, Universal. You can't compete with Pixar. I mean, like, Toy Story, that's just a whole different level of heartwarming. Your way to combat that was to make, like, a glitter-farting troll? Like, really? That's what you have? I'm just so disappointed. Anyway, Guy Diamond joined the other trolls, Branch and Poppy, at their meet-and-greets in the park. And Branch and Poppy, by the way, are fully clothed, which goes with the movie because I believe Guy Diamond is the only one who is not dressed at all. I mean, I haven't seen the movie again, but that's what it looks like. And they definitely made that character come to life in a very creepy way. Anyway, the trio of trolls, they do a little dance for guests. And then at the end of the dance, Guy Diamond farts out glitter, which is... I just can't imagine. I don't know why. I don't know why you would do that. Why do you subject children to that? They have to watch it? I don't want an autograph from that troll afterwards. The theme park's website has shown the guests, have shown the trolls meeting with guests. Apparently this takes place like 6 times a day. It's at the Kid Zone in Universal Studios in Florida. And naturally, people on social media had some thoughts about the whole troll glitter naked situation. one person wrote, "I vote for Universal glitter farting trolls for the halftime show next year." Ooh, man, SpongeBob's better. I mean, they gypped SpongeBob. I mean, if they gave the trolls a whole musical number, I'd be real pissed. Another one says, "Thank you at Universal for squashing what was a growing desire to visit your parks again. I love your Harry Potter spaces, but there's no way you're getting a dime of my family's hard-earned money if you think a naked glitter-farting troll roaming about is acceptable." Yeah, I agree. I'm not going to pay for that. I particularly like this comment. So in response to the news about the glitter-farting troll, someone responded, "Imagine getting a BFA in musical theater to fart glitter." Yeah, I hear you, man. That's terrible. Another one said, "I hate the troll that farts glitter, but I appreciate Universal for making me feel something again." I don't know what you're feeling. Just the terrible potential indigestion that this troll probably has, or just disgust, or just disappointment. I don't know. I don't know what you're feeling. Whoever this person was who tweeted it, but I'm good for you for having your heart awoken again or something. Another one, "I'm very uncomfortable with how sculpted his butt is." That is really true. The troll, like the costume, you can tell there's a mechanism inside the butt part of the costume that farts the glitter, which is disturbing because it's kind of, you can sort of see that there's like a hole where the glitter comes out of. It's very weird. And I guess I actually connect with this person who said, "I appreciate Universal for making me feel something again," because now that I'm thinking about it, when I watched this video, I did feel something. It was great disturbance. That's what I felt. I was very upset. So yes, I guess I did feel something. But not what I wanted. Anyway, I agree with this person. I am very uncomfortable with how sculpted this troll's butt is. This next person who responded was, I guess, in the same line as the previous tweet. And this person said, "A lot of discussion about the glitter fart, but not enough discussion about the fact that there's a walk-around character with its whole with its whole butt out." Yeah, that's... I agree. I mean, they said a different word than butt, which I caught myself from saying, but yeah, no, I can't even... Let me also clarify, if there are parents out there listening who are considering going to Universal, the troll costume is what I would assume is similar to the movie, and where in terms of things on the body that you can see when not wearing clothes, it's really only a butt. You don't see anything else, any other parts, really. So you wouldn't have to worry about that, unless, you know, like when you get children's dolls and if they're like undressed, there's just nothing there. It's just like that, really. I mean, still, I don't think that's right to just have a troll that's just butt naked, literally just walking around your park. It's very bizarre. I'm honestly disturbed by it, but you know, whatever, Universal. There was also one that I really loved, and someone tweeted a picture, and they took a picture of after the trolls performed and they left the little area where they did their little dance and then the glitter fart. And it's a picture of two guys with brooms that work for the park just sweeping up the glitter. And of course, they just captioned it "the glitter fart cleanup." Oh, why? I don't know. I feel like if anything, if social media has just taught me anything, it's that there are so many things out there that exist and that are real that I just kind of wish weren't. I'm just disturbed. I don't know how else to say that. There's so many things out there that just disturb me, particularly this story. And I can't imagine. I don't know. I'm scared about it. If you want to go to Universal and you want to go see the trolls, go for it. Live your life. I'm not going to stop you. I will not be there. They will not be getting my money. Okay. We're moving on to the next story. And this is about the Queen. And it's about the Queen's Twitter specifically. And really the question that a lot of people on social media have been asking is, has the Royal Highness's Twitter account been hacked? Reasons people are wondering this. I mean, fans and just followers in general of the English family are wondering this because the royal family's official Twitter account has been posting some interesting, almost like philosophical, like borderline, like kind of trippy questions. Some of the questions actually are about fungi, which is weird, just to give you a taste of the strangeness that is being tweeted about. So this tweet, the British royal family has a Twitter account, and they have been posting, they tweeted one thing that said, by what physiological peculiarities do fungi differ from other plants? Just that, which is bizarre because I don't know. I would imagine that the royal family might be tweeting about happenings going on at the castle, like different public events or charity things or whatnot. I mean, I don't know. I'm not British. I'm not part of the royal family. I don't know what they do, but I would imagine they would post things like that or like about someone's birthday, you know, or something like that. But no, about fungi. Another one says, how many redundant letters are there in the English alphabet? What would be the ideal of a perfect alphabet? And how far does the English alphabet fall short of that ideal? Wow, so philosophical. What deep questions that I have really never asked. I don't know. Anyway, when you see tweets like that coming from the royal family, people have really been wondering, what's going on? The Twitter account for the royal family has 3.8 million followers, which that's a lot of people. And really, a lot of people started wondering if the Twitter had been hacked or, I don't know, if there was just some other hypothesis. Not sure what was going on. Maybe there was just all typos. I don't know. But as far as we can all tell, the British royal family's Twitter has not been hacked. And the explanation is interesting, but apparently people were reading the tweets out of context and out of order, because these sort of philosophical questions aren't just like, you know, the Queen's like private thoughts or whatever, but actually it relates to the University of London's exam, which was administered in 1869. Because that was the year that the university admitted its first female students, and they admitted 9 women, and the royal family tweeted about it, and they tweeted these questions about, like, the alphabet and fungi and whatnot, because these were questions that were asked on a quote-unquote special exam written just for them, written just for the women who were then allowed into the university. Apparently, 2019 marks the 150th anniversary of women being allowed in higher education in England, thanks to a royal charter given to the University of London by Queen Victoria. The university and members of the royal family celebrated the college's history of female scholarship with a special reception on January 30th, and this was attended by many female scholars from around the world. So, in case you're wondering, the royal family was not hacked. The questions and the things they were tweeting are quite odd and perplexing, but it was actually just related to the university admitting women. So, interesting way to go about it. I would have expected they had just tweeted about going to the reception, but, you know, I'll give them points for creativity. Anyway, I don't know. That's weird. I'm glad she wasn't hacked. And apparently, if you are wondering about one of the earlier questions that the queen posed, fungi do not photosynthesize. So those are the physiological peculiarities that fungi have to differ from other plants, which is one of the questions that was apparently asked on this test. So we're going to take another break, and then we'll be right back and keep talking about some more social media news.
Tired of searching the vast jungle of podcasts? Now listen close and hear this out. There's a podcast network that covers just about everything that you've been searching.
Hey!
The Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network is here. Nothing less than a podcast bliss with endless hours of podcast coverage. From news, sports, music, fashion, cooking, entertainment, fantasy, football, and so much more. So stop lurking around and go straight out to the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network. Guaranteed to fill that podcast itch. Whatever it may be. Visit us at www.gsmcpodcast.com. Follow us on Facebook and Twitter. And download us on iTunes, SoundCloud, and Google Play.
Welcome back to the GSMC Social Media News Podcast. We are continuing to share some social media news stories. This next one is about a six-year-old girl who became an honorary police officer. So this occurred in Texas, and this girl had an incurable form of cancer. And she said that she had dreamed of becoming a police officer. So the Freeport Police Department decided to make her an honorary officer for the day. And this is a sad story, but it's also sweet because this little girl got to live out her dreams, and also because of how much people were touched by this and by this whole event of her becoming an honorary officer. The chief of police actually broke down while swearing her in, which is really heartwarming and, yeah, again, kind of sad. But this little girl is Abigail Arias, who has stage four Williams tumor, which is sadly wrapped around her aorta. And she went into remission for 5 months, but then the cancer spread to her lungs. And Abigail's doctors don't know of any treatment or chemotherapy that is able to cure her. Naturally, her father, Ruben, has said that they were devastated by it. And her mom said that it is the greatest struggle. And that they are saying, you know, that they're very concerned, obviously, and they're having to deal with it, and they're not exactly sure how. But they're trying to say no to fear, which is good. Her dad said that they are strong in their faith, and they believe in God, and the doctors can say what they say medically, but we know that God is one and that he has her destiny in his hands. That is very hopeful. And I don't know, I guess it's good to hear that the family has some hope related to this sad and difficult situation. Abigail thought up a good way to combat what she calls the bad guys in her body that are making her sick, and she wanted to fight them by becoming a police officer. Abigail first met the chief of police, Ray Garavay, in December, and told him about her dream of becoming a cop, and he said they were going to make it happen. The department invited Abigail to be sworn in and as an honorary officer under one condition. Garavay, the police chief, made Abigail make a promise in her oath that said, "I will now and forever promise to keep fighting the bad guys until all my cancer's gone." Which, if that doesn't bring a tear to your eye, I don't know what will. That is, that's emotional. The chief obviously was very moved by this whole situation. He couldn't hold back his tears while swearing her in, and he was just overcome with emotion as Abigail received her badge, which she wore on her little tiny police officer uniform It is cute. There are some pictures. She has a whole officer's uniform, and she gets a badge, and you can see some images of her being sworn in and also images of her at the police office. And she got to sit in the police chair, in the police car. She ate the favorite treat of all police officers, of course, a donut. And she said that becoming an honorary officer made her feel neat inside. Neat is a quote. And she said, "I felt excitement and all love," which, oh. After her day as an officer ended, Abigail swore she would keep her promise to the chief. "I want to help the bad guys go away." Oh. Oh, okay, well, I'm wishing the best to Abigail and to her family, and this is a sad story, so I'm really sorry that I'm ending on it. I'm going to have to end it so I can just go cry now, but I think that is really awesome that the chief of police helped to get her sworn in and that she got to live out her dream of being an honorary police officer, so I'm glad about that, at least. And so that brings us to the end of our show. Please tune in to the next Social Media News podcast episode.
You've been listening to the Golden State Media Concepts Social Media Podcast, part of the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network. You can find this show and others like it at www.gsmcpodcast.com. Download our podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, SoundCloud, and Google Play. Just type in GSMC to find all the shows from the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network, from movies to music, from sports to entertainment, and even weird news. You can also follow us on Twitter and on Facebook. Thank you, and we hope you have enjoyed today's program.